my God, that is who you are.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here. Lord, I pray that right now all the distractions, all the things that is grabbing our minds and our thoughts, right now we'd lay them aside and be focused on hearing from you, Lord Jesus. Please speak through me this morning. May every word spoken be in accordance to your will. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If y'all would like, open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. That's where we're going to be for first part of the sermon. The title of the message today is Faith on Display. And I've been thinking about this question in my own life, and it's not a fun, uplifting message like the last week and a couple weeks before that and everything, but it's a question that I believe that we need to ask ourselves with our own faith. Can people see it? Do you see it? Do you recognize it in your own life? And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." I've never seen Jesus, but I've seen what he does. And I've seen what he does in lives. I've felt what he's done in my own life, how he's transformed me. But physically, I've never seen Jesus. But that doesn't diminish the fact that I believe in Jesus. You can't tell me that Jesus doesn't exist. I believe it with all my heart. And so, but as I was thinking about all this, I was thinking about all the men and women of the Bible that really lived out their faith, and it was on display. And so we're going to begin in Daniel 1, verse 8. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you." So basically this guy's saying, look, if I don't feed you what we consider to be good food, you're going to get sickly, you're going to look bad, and the king's going to kill me. And I don't think I fully understand what the life was like back then, where there was a king, and if he said something, it was carried out. There's no appeal, there's no court system. It was, if the king stated it, that's the way it was. Verse 11, then Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, "Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servant in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. I want you to think about that. What they considered choice food, what they considered something very good, was not producing a good result. And I think that sometimes it's really not even that different for us today in the foods that we eat and what we consume. But back to the faith on display. Daniel said, you know what? I'm going to step away and I'm not going to do what the king's ordered. I'm going to do what I know the Lord has given me to do, what the Lord has showed me that I should do. So that is faith being displayed in even the choice of food that he eats. And how many of us would step back and if our life depended upon it, would say, I'm choosing not what the leadership's saying, not what the king's saying, but what I know is God is saying. Jump ahead a little bit to chapter 3 here. There's so much in Daniel. There's so much. I'm going to try and preach fast because there's so much in just faith being on display. But Daniel chapter 3. And very familiar text. We'll begin with verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the same three guys. Their names have just been changed, okay? So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zithe, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Basically, they're not going to bow down to false idols. They're not going to worship false gods. They're taking a stand. So verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." I want y'all to think about what was just said there. Even if. How many times in our prayers, when we don't see an answer, we compromise? How many times have we been praying and praying and praying for something, and we just don't see God move, so we compromise? We begin to adopt the ways of the world. This is the way the world does it. This is the way that my friends do it. This is the way that Oprah says to do it. This is whatever it is, because we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and we don't see an answer, so we compromise. Where's the faith in that? Where is the faith in that? If we're to live by faith, if we're to walk by faith, and here they said, even if God chooses not to deliver us, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to compromise. And I think sometimes in our lives, when things get hard, when things get rough, when we don't understand, when there's a sickness, when there's financial problems, when there's relationship problems, whatever it is, and we say, well, what I'm doing, God, just doesn't seem to be working. So I'm going to do it the way the world does it. These men said, even if God does not save us, we're not going to bow down to your God. We believe God is able, but even if he doesn't, that's faith on display. We all know the story. They're thrown into the fire and God rescues them. Jump forward a little bit. I got one more story with Daniel. Chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home up his upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem. There, or three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decrees you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the orders, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." I want you to think about, this was all set up to see if he would compromise. He was unwilling, and what happens? He's thrown into a lion's den. That is faith on display. That is faith in action. That's saying, I'm going to serve God no matter what. No matter if my coworkers come against me, no matter if people's giving false testimony against me, no matter if they're doing things. And when I was praying about this and I was thinking about this, and I thought of the baker in Colorado that you guys all know the story, that wouldn't make the cake for the same sex wedding ceremony. It goes all the way to the Supreme Court, and he wins. Years of litigation, years of battle, and he finally wins. As soon as that court's settled, another person comes in and sues him over something else. It's just a continual bombardment against this man. And because he's unwilling to compromise, he's even given him pamphlets and things of other bakers, of other people that will do their wedding cakes or do whatever. He's like, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to compromise my belief. And they just want to everybody to conform to their ideas. And someone next door, someone down the street can handle it, but they don't care. They want to attack. They want to attack. And that's what I feel like's happened to that baker. And that's what was happening to Daniel. The other guys was like, this guy, he honors God and he's found favor with the king. And you can see the king was in anguish. He didn't want to do this, but he goes through with it because of the pressure. But Daniel didn't compromise. And you jump down to verse 21. Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. I don't know about y'all, but when we've been to the zoo and seen lions and tigers and things like that, was it a lion or a tiger that we heard roar that one time? A lion. It only happened one time. We were at the zoo in Tulsa, and we were away from the lion's cage, and that thing roared. And we were a good ways away, and man, it sent chills. And I thought, if I'm out in the wild and I heard that lion roar, buddy, I'd be scared. I ain't lying. I'd be... Here, he's facing these lions. To just not pray for 30 days. Just don't pray for 30 days. And you won't have to face these lions. But he was willing. He didn't compromise his faith. He stood strong and God closed the mouths of the lions. And you can read on if you'd like. But what happened to those men is not only were they destroyed, but their families were destroyed. And they were fed to the lions when they came against the man of God. God is able. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It's God's battle. We talked about that last week, that we were more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And how many of us are living our lives each and every day with our faith on display? Gideon and Judges, you know, he goes and he tears down the altars of Baal. He goes and fights. And I think we just talked about Gideon not too long ago with 300 men to defeat the Midianites. And there's countless and countless stories of men and their faith on display. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 4. And just reading a couple of verses here, I'm going to be bouncing around a bunch now, okay? So Matthew 4, verse 18, here's another example of faith on display. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. That's like if God said, go quit your job tomorrow and let's do something else. How many of you would do it? I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you would do it if God said, quit your job tomorrow and hey, let's just go to the mission field? Hey, quit your job and I want you to go downtown Fort Smith and start doing street ministry. Well, God, where's my money going to come from? I've got this, I've got that, and I've got this bill, and I've got that bill. You want to talk about faith on display? These men were doing their livelihood, and Jesus said, put down your nets. Come on. Come on, fellas. Come follow me. You know, sometimes our faith on display is just the actions that we take in life and the things that we commit to, and they don't make sense always to the world. There's decisions that I've made in my life, job decisions, and you know, years ago I had an opportunity to take a job in Louisiana that would have been a lot more money. But you know what? The main decision, well, one was it was Louisiana. Who wants to live? But it was God had called me to this church. Don't make sense. Other things in my life that don't make sense to the world, but it's God's leading, it's God's direction. Now, I'm not trying to put myself up there with these disciples. God's never said, Pete, quit your job. And I hope the Lord doesn't ask me to quit my job anytime soon, because what a hard decision that would be. But y'all, that's faith on display when you make decisions that doesn't make sense to the world. Acts 9, more decisions. I'm just trying to paint a picture, y'all. It's all throughout the Bible of these different men that were faithful. Acts 9, verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now here it is. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest us all who call on your name. Lord, am I hearing you right here? That's the guy that wants to arrest us. In comparison, that would be like the Lord telling you, hey, fly over to Afghanistan and talk to Osama bin Laden. Go over to a foreign country where they hate Christians and go to the leadership and talk to them. You'd be clearing out your ears, right? Lord, is that really what you want? Verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. See, when we walk with Jesus and we're obedient, we get to see the miracles, even when it's scary, even when it don't make sense. Here's a guy that's about to rescue you. Here's men that gave up their livelihood. Here's a guy that's told not to pray and thrown in a lion's den. And three men that's thrown into a fire. And you might be saying, well, Pete, that all sounds great and that all sounds good, but we're talking about heroes of faith. They're listed in Hebrews as men of God, as heroes of faith. What can I do? I'm no hero of faith. Matthew 25, verse 34. This is for all of us, I believe. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You see, that's the welcome in. He didn't say you fought off the lions. He didn't say that, you know, you walked on water. He didn't say that you quit your job. Now, if God asked you to do any of those things, you're obedient to it. But what did He say? You took care of those needs around you. We don't have to go to a foreign mission field to see needs and meet those needs. We can walk downtown Mansfield. We can go to the local schools, your local Walmart, at work, your coworker that sits next to you every day. See, and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I got written in my Bible here, that it's God's nature. And I preached on that a long time ago, but they didn't even know that they were doing it. When did we even do this? But it was just God's nature inside of them when they showed love, when they showed kindness, that it's not works. This isn't, I'm not telling you to go get busy and go work. But when God's nature is inside of you, you're going to find that person that you can witness to, that you can show love, that you can show kindness, that you can help along the way. And it just becomes a natural thing in your life. Faith on display is when you're out and you're following what the Lord tells you to do. Hebrews 11, this is the chapter about faith, but Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Can we examine ourselves right now in areas of our life and say, "God, where do I demonstrate faith? I've not quit my job. I've not been thrown in a lion's den. I'm not threatened with a fire. But God, where in my life have I demonstrated faith lately?" I want you to think about that. Is there an area that you can look back and say, I've demonstrated faith by doing this. God, I trusted in You in this area when I didn't do it the way that the world says to do it, that I did it the way that I felt like the Scripture led me in, and that You told me in my spirit. He says that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Are you earnestly seeking Him right now? And I want you to think about earnestly seeking Him is like studying, it's praying, it's worshiping, it's coming to church, it's all those things involved, and He rewards those who are earnestly seeking Him. But how many of us don't even do that? We wonder why we don't hear His voice. We hear other people's testimony and we say, "Well, that doesn't even make sense to me. Why doesn't God speak to me that way? Why doesn't God show me those things?" Well, are you earnestly seeking Him? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many of us have been really living our lives earnestly seeking Him by faith? And we have faith in electricity, don't we? When we flip a light switch, it comes on. Some of y'all had some trouble with that the last few weeks, on and off, huh? We have faith that our heat and air units are going to cool our house or warm them. I don't know how they work. I have no idea. I got to call a repair guy if it breaks. We have faith in so many things. We have faith in gasoline. I know that when my car gauge is on empty, that if I don't stop at a gas station and pump this liquid into the engine, I'm not going very much further. I have faith by putting that gas in my car that it's going to drive, that it's going to go. You say, "Well, that's silliness, Pete. It's just..." Who stopped and got gas this week or in the last couple of weeks? Well, why did you do that? Because you had faith that gasoline would make your car go. You got faith in banks, don't you? You deposit your money into a savings account. You deposit your money into the checking account. And you know what? I have so much faith in my bank account, I don't even get a paycheck anymore. My check goes directly into my bank account. I don't even have to sign it and go to the bank and drop it in the box. That's how much faith I have in the banking system. But you know what? If I went to the bank tomorrow and they said, "You have no money," we decide to just keep it. I wouldn't have very much faith in the banking system anymore. They wouldn't be getting any more of my paychecks. We put faith in all these worldly things. But some of us won't even put faith in God and His direction and His guidance. Everybody that comes here and has been here for any amount of time know that I don't like talking about money. We don't even take up an offering here. God provides. And I'm so grateful for the leadership here, because what God's provided for this church, a big portion of it goes out of this church. We give to the needs in the community and those around us, to mission fields and everything else. Anybody want to see our books from last year, you come, I'll show you. It's amazing what God's doing, and it's going out. Thank God. But everything in the Word of God, as your pastor, I'm going to be held accountable if I leave something out. And this is where the Lord led me, as one of the examples of faith, is in giving. We have faith in giving to the banking system. We have faith in putting our money in savings. But do we have faith that God is able? In Malachi 3, verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me." But you ask, how do you rob God? In tithes and offerings. Have you ever thought about when you don't trust God with your tithes and offerings that you're robbing Him? I mean, it kind of gives a different spin to it of saying that you're holding back what belongs to God. Verse 9 says, "You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me." Church, this is the Word of God. It says, "Bring the whole tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." So there's so many different components to this, and I could preach for an hour on it, but I'm not gonna. But I'm just telling you, church, if you don't trust God with your finances, you're missing out. You're missing out because it says that if you don't, you're going to be cursed. There's so many people that say, "I just can't afford to give. I just can't afford to tithe. I just can't. I just can't. I just can't." Well, why can't you? Maybe because you're not, and then there's God's not blessing your life. Y'all, to God be the glory. I'm telling you this with all my heart. If you've seen over the years how much money I make, and all God has blessed me with, you'd say, "How, Pete? It doesn't even make sense." There's a guy that I work with that makes double what I make with his wife's income, maybe even more than double. And this week he was so upset because of the snow and we missed a couple days of work, and he's like having to use time to make sure he has a full paycheck because he has so many bills. And I'm sitting there thinking, how can you be that maxed out that you can't even afford to miss a day of work and you're stressed? Y'all, the only reason that I'm able to do what I do is because God has blessed me. Bottom line, God's blessed me. If some of y'all looked at my finances, you'd probably laugh. "Pete, you only make that much?" To God be the glory. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying, I trust God. I trust God. Do you trust God with your finances? Do you trust God with those areas of your life? I've heard before, and I've heard other people say it, that one way that you can see what a person puts their faith in, what a person puts their trust in, is you look at their bank book and see where all their money goes. For most of us, it'd probably be Walmart, huh? It's like every other week, it's Walmart. But honestly, do you trust God? Do you give? Do you have faith? It's your faith being demonstrated. Let's move on from there before everybody's uncomfortable. James chapter 5, verse 13. Another way that I believe that we trust God, that our faith is on display, it says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But how many of us are too embarrassed to come up front and say, will y'all pray for me? Will y'all lift me up this morning because I'm sick, because I'm struggling? We put more faith in an aspirin than we do in praying and asking God for help and praying and asking God for strength. Now, church, I'm going to tell you something. When it says confess your sins one to another, to me, I don't believe that means stand up here and confess to the church. That's me personally. We've had people do that before, and that's not what I believe. But I believe that is you confess to a trusted friend, a pastor, someone that's not going to go gossip and spread everything, and then allow them to pray over you. And there's just a bond that's broken then when it comes to light. We've had people back in the office before, a few of us, and they'll confess and they'll tell us things. And you know what? We don't judge them. We pray for them and lift them up that God would set them free. And that's what this is talking about. In church, it's our faith on display. Even coming up here and writing something in this prayer book, it's saying, God, I believe that these members of this church are praying for me and my needs going to be met. It's our faith on display is when we come forward and we say, elders, pray for me. Elders, anoint me and pray over me. I had a situation just recently that I felt that I was to pray for somebody, but I didn't because I didn't know how they would react. Should it matter? If God says it, do it. But still, I got a ways to go. Hebrews 10:23 says, Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. To me, you guys being here this morning is you're putting your faith on display. And you're here not only to hear the sermon, but hopefully you're here to encourage those around you or to receive encouragement. To me, showing up, getting out of bed and driving to church on Sundays, on Wednesdays, whenever the doors are open, it's you putting your faith on display and saying, God, I'm praying that I'm going to hear from you. But God, not only that, as I pray that I might speak a word of encouragement to someone around me, that I might see somebody that's sitting in front of me or behind me or beside me and can just tell that they're down and they need a hug. They need a pat on the back. They just need someone to tell them that they're loved. Y'all, that's a way that we can have our faith put on display. I'm about to finish up. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Y'all, there's a lot right there too, but one of the ways that we can put our faith on display is put the past in the past where it belongs. Any of y'all ever done stuff that you're ashamed of? I have. Anybody ever been a jerk to people, been angry at people, just have regrets? Well, here it says that if we confess our sins, he forgives us our sins. But then the last part of that is to purify us from all unrighteousness. See, our faith on display sometimes is we don't do the things that we used to do because God has purified us from that old way of life and that old unrighteousness. And when people see you at work, when people see you from school, when people see you from wherever, and they look at your life and they say, man, he's not that same person anymore. He's different. She's different. She's not that person. She's not whatever it is. Confessing our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 25:23, the last verse. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, I asked you guys earlier to examine your life and say, where has my faith been on display? Someday when we stand before the Lord, is he going to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Maybe you won't fight off the lions. Maybe you won't be going to a foreign nation, but you were faithful in what God gave you and faithful in what you did. It's different for every one of us. Not everybody's going to stand up here and preach. Not everybody's going to stand up here and play music or sing. Not everybody's going to be a children's minister like Samantha. But God has something specific for you, whether it's feeding the hungry, whether it's helping that person at Walmart, whether it's just smiling at a coworker and showing them God's love. But it's your life and your action saying, I love Jesus and I'm going to follow Him in obedience. Let's stand. Father, I pray that each and every one of us will look at our lives, and if there's areas that we know we need improvement on right now, we would confess it, Lord. And that You would transform us, that You would change our hearts, that You would change our minds, Lord. And that we might truly live a life of our faith on display, that our coworkers, that our family, that our friends, that the strangers on the street would just know that we are full of You, Lord, and full of Your love and Your Holy Spirit. Father, I know that the way is different for each and every one of us and where we work and the lives that we lead, but may each and every one of us follow Your Holy Spirit completely, Lord, that we might live a life serving You. Lord, that our sermons would be the life that we live, not the words that we speak so much, but the lives that we live, that people would just see You in us. May Your will be done with each and every one of us now. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer this morning, my altars are open.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my
just had a thought. I'm going to end with this. Some of y'all don't know me and who I used to be, but when I worked for UPS, I was invited to a party, and I went, and there was drinking and stuff going on, and some of the people began to leave, and I was there, and then the drugs came out because, oh, they're okay with it. Don't worry about it. And I was one of the ones that was okay with it as they began to, everybody do drugs around me. I did not do drugs that night. But I was in the midst of all that, and I was cool. So it was okay to partake in this in front of me. fast forward when Jesus got a hold of me. I was doing a Bible study at UPS. The transformation was so evident. Now I've been a Christian for so many years, and people that I work with, I'm the preacher and things like that. But y'all, I still need to be living out my testimony in the way that I act and the way that I don't act. And some of you, I just feel like I should say this. Some of you might say, well, I don't have that testimony. I've never partied. I've never drank. I've never, but I know Jesus saved me. Praise God. That's such a testimony that your faith was on display because you never gave in to that stupidity that some of the others of us have. Don't feel like you need a testimony that you were delivered out of drugs or alcohol or that you were, you know, this wild person for your testimony to be good. No, that missionary that's in Mexico, I always loved it. He was a drug addict on the street and everything else. But his testimony, when I heard him, he said, but any idiot can do that. That's exactly what he called himself. He said, any idiot can do that. And he said, but my wife was raised in church, and she's remained faithful to God, and she's never wavered. He said, you want to hear a testimony? That's a testimony of someone that remained faithful to God through it all. But all of us have a testimony, and all of us have something that God wants us to do and live out. And so I pray that your faith would be on display this week. When things aren't going right at work, you're not the one to throw items and cuss and have a fit. You're the one that remains calm and says, God, lead me. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I've lost my temper at work, but sometimes it's when you don't. And maybe, just maybe, everybody will look at your life and go, man, how is she? May your life give glory to God each and every day. Have a great week. Sun's going to shine today and tomorrow, and then we'll see what happens. Hope to see all you men Wednesday.